Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now, notice what it says here. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Does that mean to every man? No, it means to your own husband, not everybody else. That if any obey not the word, now this is talking about those who are lost and undone, if you happen to get saved after you're married, you know, and your husband isn't, you can, you know what, live before him in a manner where he will want what you have. That's what it's talking about. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, what, of the wives, meaning, you know what, their manner of life. It ought to have a beauty about them, and it ought to have something that the husband desires because you're living for Jesus. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Now, I've known some people who believe, you know what, women shouldn't be wearing earrings. They shouldn't be, you know, spending any time fixing up their hair. And they use this as a verse. And they say, this is what God meant. Well, no, then if you go all the way, it says, are putting on of apparel. So that means the whole verse there. You know what? You can't just stop there and say the first two. Amen? And I'm not against women wearing jewelry, and I'm not against women looking pretty. I think they ought to. Amen? World would be a whole lot prettier place if they did. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, this is talking about what's really important. It's nice to look good on the outside, but if the inside isn't right, the outside is not going to make much difference. You know, they say ugly is to the bone, and that's what this is talking about here. Amen. If you got an ugly attitude, you got an ugly disposition, it's going to show up. It doesn't matter how good looking you are on the outside. But let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, notice this, of a what? And what? Which is in the sight of God of what? Now, what's that quiet spirit talking about? Well, that quiet spirit's talking about you not worrying, you not fretting, you not being unsettled. And you are to have a meek spirit about you. That means you don't rule the roost. That means even though you may be better in some areas or smarter or whatever else, you still do not rule the head of the house. That's not your job. You stay away from it. You take that power and you know what? You just humble yourself. That's not your responsibility, nor is it your position. So fill your God-given role within the marriage. Don't overstep your bounds. Meekness is what? Power under control. And it says, which is in the sight of God, a what? Great price. So this is valuable, isn't it? For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also. Now what kind of women? Holy women. So if you're not this way, that means you're what? Oh, okay. I didn't say that. Joe did. Who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their what? Own husbands. Do you see that?
Right.
Amen. Goes on to say, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him what? Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well. Now, if you don't do well and you're not in subjection to your husband, you're not a daughter of Sarah, are you? And you're not doing well. And are not afraid in any, what? Amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I want us to see, especially in verse 7, focus on that for a little bit this morning. I want us to see the connection between home and heaven. Between home and heaven. Now, most of us have the idea that what we do in our homes has nothing to do with what takes place in heaven, but such is not the case. The Bible says there's a vital connection, a prayer line between our homes and heaven. And if our homes and our marriages isn't right, that prayer line will be broken and we won't get our prayers answered. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, speaking about the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, nothing in the world is more important than what takes place in the home. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Your light ought to shine brightest at home, not here in the church house. You can put on a front here. Everybody can think you're looking good and that you're godly, but what are you in at home? That's where your light ought to shine. That's where the most influence that you could ever possibly have on the most important people in your life. What is your home life like? Guys, are you overbearing? You thump your chest like a silverback ape? Ladies, are you submissive? Do you exude that meek and quiet spirit? Are you holy? Are you nag at home? There's no place where influence must count for God more than in the home. There's no place where we are able to exercise as much influence for eternity as we are under our own roofs. Notice the responsibility of the husband. Both the husband and wife are to share the privileges of marriage, but both also are to share the responsibilities of marriage. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, you wives. Then in verse 7, it says, likewise, you husbands. Now, in that verse of Scripture, we see the responsibility God gives to the husband. Now, the word likewise makes reference to Jesus Christ. And the husband, we are to follow in the steps of Jesus. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us on what? Example that we should follow his steps. Now, Christ has left us an example for behavior, and we are supposed to follow in his steps. Now, we know that he came to be more than just an example. We know that he came to bleed and died on the cross of Calvary, be buried and rise again to pay the sin debt of man. But by his life, he gives us an example of submission. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 through 25, it says this, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto what? Righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. When we come to the first verse of chapter 3, the Bible then says, likewise what? Ye wives. So it's talking about what? Being like Jesus, patterning our behavior after him. And he's making reference to the example of Christ who submitted himself to the will of the Father. Then in verse 7 of chapter 3, it says, likewise, ye what? Husbands. So that's referring back to who? Jesus once again. And God says, likewise, ye husbands. Now, every man is to see that Jesus Christ has given us an example. Amen. Now, can you get a better example than him? So who are we to pattern ourselves after? We are to pattern ourselves after Jesus. Now, God's word commands in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the secret to a happy marriage is quite simple. You know, the secret is to live a self-giving, self-sacrificing life. Living for the one you are married to, not for yourself. You know, when there's selfishness in a marriage relationship, somebody ain't happy. Neither the selfish person is happy, and neither are the one they're married to. Now, was Jesus selfish? Did he not live a sacrificial life? Did he not live a self-giving life? Now, we all know people who live for what they can get out of life. And somehow they got the idea that everyone else is placed on God's green earth to do something for them. Now, the Lord Jesus is an example for both the husband and the wife. Now, in submission to the Father's will, he is an example. Now, he is no less God than God the Father, no less God than God the Holy Spirit. And what I'm getting at is women are of no less value than men. Christ willingly put himself in submission and to the will of God the Father. Wives are to use that as their example. The Lord Jesus loved the church, did he not? And what did he do? He gave himself for it. Now we are part of the church, and we should have no problem yielding to the Savior who loved us enough to give himself for us. Now, a wife should have no problem yielding to a man who loves her enough to give himself for her and to her. Every woman should be submissive to her husband, but she should have the privilege of being submissive to a husband who cares more about her needs than he does his own. This is the clear teaching of the Word of God. Now, the responsibility of the husband is to care for his wife as Christ cared for the church. Too many men want to give all that spiritual responsibility in the home to the wife. That's right. Send them to the church. Let them rear the kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They don't want to take the bull by the horns and be the spiritual leader that God intended them to be. You know, you read about that in the Bible, don't you? You read about Abraham, right? But you read about him bringing up his children aright, don't you? And God said so. And then you read about Eli. You know what? He was too busy in the ministry to rear his own kids up. And his kids turned out horrible. Now, who did God blame for that? Did he blame Mrs. Eli? I know we don't read about her, but somehow these kids came into being. And so we don't read about her, but you know what? He puts the blame square where it ought to be, and that is on the husband's shoulders. That's on the man. That's on the spiritual leader of the home. Right. You know, you read about that as Samuel as well. His kids didn't turn out right. Why didn't he turn out right? Because he didn't invest his spiritual leadership in his own home. Guys, you are to be the spiritual leader. You are to lead by example. You should be reading your Bible on a daily basis. You should be leading in prayer. You should be leading your family into church, not sending them. Remember reading about a little fella and his mom, they're getting ready to go to church, and she said, "Come on, son, it's time to go. We're going to be late for Sunday school." He says, "Well, what about Dad?" She says, "Oh, Dad's not going to go. He went to Sunday school when he was a kid." And he looks over at his dad and says, "Yeah, I see it didn't do you any good either." Yeah, don't tell me you don't have an influence on the rest of your family. You do. And you ought to be the sterling example of what godliness ought to be in your home. Your wives and your children need that. They need you to be holy, godly, faithful, and consistent in your walk with Christ. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, what? according to knowledge. Now, we are to make a decision to live with our wives in peace. Ecclesiastes 9:9, Solomon says this, "Live joyfully with thy wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun." Live what? Joyfully. Now, that's a choice we make, don't we? Now, we can all look at our wives and say, well, and find fault with them, right? You can. None of them are perfect. And by the way, you aren't either. And your wife could look at you and find fault with you as well. But you know what? Love covereth a multitude of sin, does it not? And you know what else we ought to do? We ought to live joyfully together. You can make your marriage a happy one or a miserable one. That's on you. How many ever heard me tell you you should be enjoying marriage and not enduring marriage? Well, I've been married 50 years, 50 long years. Boy, ain't that something. You're lucky you've been married 5 minutes. Is that really something worth wanting from somebody else? So, oh man, that's great. 50 long years, boy. No, I wouldn't want to be married to somebody like that. You're enduring marriage, and you're only doing it because you kept your word. Well, why can't you have a happy marriage? Why can't you have a joyful marriage? And by the way, it takes two, doesn't it? But you know what? You can still be joyous even if the other person's not. You ought to live joyfully, what? With the wife of thy youth. You ought to love her all the days of your empty life. Is that what vanity means? You know, one thing I do every day is I thank God for my wife. You know, she's a godly woman. Now, when I married her, she was a heathen. That's right, she was heathen. And so was I. We were two heathens yoked together. Then we got born again. And when we got born again, we decided, you know what, we're going to live for Jesus. And I thank God that I find her every day in the Bible, find her every day praying. And she doesn't pray for just 5 minutes. She has longer devotions than I do. And I probably pray almost 2 hours a day. I know you're too busy for that. Because you got other things, lesser things to do that are more important. But I thank God for her. She's been a wonderful helpmeet. You know, she makes me a happy man. You know, I can't recall her ever putting her hand on her hip and wagging that finger in my face. She's still got all her fingers. Amen. What's wrong with you women? Why don't you make your husband happy? You know, the Bible says that we ought to be happy in our marriage, should we not? Then why are you trying to give him a hard time? What's your point? Isn't he supposed to make you happy? Sure, he married you, and for the whole year he's supposed to what? Make you happy. Now, I know just thinking that they got you's enough. But such is not the case. You know, I think if we would work at making each other happy, we'd have a happy marriage. Now, wouldn't you think that'd beat a miserable marriage? I do. You know, there's a vital connection between my happiness at home and my heavenly home. Now, we learn from the Word of God that getting along with our wives has everything to do with getting along with God. If we have trouble in the home, we cannot get through to God when we need our prayers answered. So let me ask you something. Let's say I'm less than manly. I'm domesticated. And my wife rules the roost. He said, "Preacher, you're talking about me." Okay. Listen closely. Do you think my prayer time is going to be real effective? How about your wife's prayer time? You see, there's more to it than just, you know, being married. We ought to fulfill our God-given roles within the home. And if we're not willing to do that, you know what? Your prayer life is hindered. I remember preaching on this at my first church that I pastored. And I had this guy come to me after the service. He says, "We don't want that kind of preaching here." And I'm like, "What did I say that was so awful wrong?" And I said, you know, I'm thinking, I studied for this. I'm prepared. I mean, but there's times I say something perhaps I shouldn't say. It happens. I know. And so I was curious. I said, "So what kind of preaching you talk about?" This is what he told me. He says, "I'm talking about wives being in submission to their husbands." I looked at this guy and I told him this. I said, "You tell your wife," because she sent him there. And he was obedient. I could have called her something else, and I almost did, but I was being polite. I said, "You tell your wife she ain't the Father, she ain't the Son, she ain't the Holy Ghost, and she ain't never going to tell me what to preach on. And as long as it's between the covers of this leather, it's fair game. I don't care what she says." I said, "Just because she doesn't want to hear it doesn't mean she don't need it." I'm thinking, wow. But I put the finger on the problem. I mean, how awful is that? Now, do you think they had a godly marriage? You think God honored their prayers? They were both living in disobedience. We have a grave responsibility to dwell with our wives, guys, according to knowledge. You say, "What's that talking about?" That means we are to study our wives. We should learn what they need. Amen. That's not funny. That's true. We should know what they love. Now, I know some of the things Connie loves. I don't love them. And that's okay. But I don't deny her those things. She loves her Hallmark movies. I'm not one for those. So I know when she needs time by herself, she just flips one of those on. And I'm like, okay. She needs some Connie time. I don't understand a guy who could watch those things. Well, some guys think they're okay. I just think they're horrible. But anyways, she loves some things I don't particularly care for. And I'm sure there's things I love that she don't particularly care for. But you know what? We can still get along. I don't have to badmouth those things that she loves. Although, I said I don't have to. I said I don't do. Confession's good for the soul. But you know what? We ought to become a student of our wives, shouldn't we? Find out what they like, what they don't like. you know, maybe what their favorite color is. How about their favorite flower? And maybe bring them to them once in a while. How about their favorite candy? And maybe buy it for them once in a while. And not yours. How about those things? Maybe what she likes to wear. You know, we're commanded to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. You know, find out where her favorite restaurant is. Maybe take her there instead of going to White Castle or something like that. There you go. You got $5. Take what you want. You say, oh, but preacher, I'm just too busy to understand all the things about my wife. Okay. You know, you got other things on your plate. Maybe that's why they're not happy. Maybe that's why you're not happily married either. Then it says, likewise, the husband dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, what does that mean, to give honor? It means we are to treat our wives as special treasures from God. You know, that would mean maybe perhaps you open up a door for them once in a while. You know, especially when they're loaded down with about 5 bags of groceries. You don't have to tell her, put them down, your arm's not broke. Maybe how about hauling the groceries in yourself? Become a student of your wife. Give them honor. You know, among all the things that I find most precious in life, my wife is up there. She's probably the best thing I have, other than Jesus and the Bible. I know you're thinking, what else do you have? Well, my truck, too. But anyway, no. But she is. She's the most precious thing to me in all the world. More than any other family member. Amen. You know, I kid around my grandkids, I call them my besties. But they're not. And some of them even say, we're not your bestie. Grandma is. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're second or third, maybe fourth. Depends how they behave. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I want to be a happy man. Amen. And happiness is really a heart matter. It begins with my relationship with God, but it also extends to my relationship with my wife. And that happiness ought to be demonstrated in the home. Now, if that be true, I need to bear the responsibility of being the husband that God intended me to be. That responsibility begins with me taking care of my wife. Now you can ask her. She doesn't have a need. She is a lady of leisure. She really is. She doesn't carry the burdens and the weights that I do. She doesn't concern herself with that. That's none of her concern. That's my responsibility. And it always has been, by the way.
Right.
You know, when I had to get up and go to work, you know, the alarm went off. Not once did she kick me out of bed. Say, right. Get up, you got to go to work, you slug. She didn't care if I got up and went to work or not. It's not her responsibility. Not once did she lay out my clothes for me. You say, why is that? Because I'm not a boy.
Right.
She married a man.
Right.
You know, she doesn't. You know, it's kind of like when I was a little fella. I didn't really concern myself with the bills. My dad took care of that. You know, I take care of everything so Connie doesn't have to be concerned with them. How many ever seen her all worrying and fretting over things? Raise your hand. Huh. Was she ever concerned that I was coming home? Was she ever concerned that the bills would not be paid? Come on now. Huh. Why do some other wives have that problem? Well, there's one or two reasons. Either they don't trust their husband or he's not the man that he ought to be. So sometimes you just need to man up. You know, you say, well, I married a woman who likes to look after herself. She don't need me. All she wants me to do is take out the trash. Okay. Do you really think she wants you to do nothing more than that and she can take care of everything by herself? Or do you really think she wants you to man up so she doesn't have to do all the things that she's currently doing? You know, I believe God put in the heart of every woman that she would have a man that would love her and take care of her, treat her with gentleness and love. One that is respected by her husband and one that considers her a precious treasure. The Word of God says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the what? Weaker vessel. Now, the weaker vessel doesn't mean she's not as smart as you are. Some of them are smarter than you. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean she's of any less value. It's speaking about her physical being. For the most part, men are stronger than their wives. How many understand that? Yeah, okay. They are. Now, sometimes a husband gets sick or has a disability or whatever, and the wife's got to do some things that she's not used to. But normally, the husband is a stronger person than the wife, okay? That's why I think it's so ridiculous that people think it's okay for boys or for men to compete against women or girls. We're much stronger than they are. We're built that way. That's the way God intended us to be. He's referring to the wife as being the weaker of the sexes. Now, I like knowing that my wife needs me physically at times. You know, and if sometimes she comes up and, you know, I can't open this jar. Now, I don't know if she can or not. I think she just wants to see me flex and, you know, see that all that, my ripped physique. John, you need to look elsewhere. But I open up the jar for her. You know, or she needs somebody to climb up a ladder to get something. You know, just the other day, not climb a ladder, but just reach something for her. She says, do you wish you married someone taller? I said, no, I wish I married you. You're the one for me. That's what it did for her. But you know, it's nice to be able to care for her. And you guys ought to look at your wife in that manner. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we find a powerful verse about the tongue. And it says in Proverbs 18:21, and I want you to notice the next verse talks about our wives. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If we are not careful, we're going to we come to the point where we kill our wives with our own tongues. When we speak to them in a manner that we is unbecoming of a Christian husband. And then the next verse says this, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." You know, the wife, a biblical wife, is a great thing to have. You know, there's times when Connie comes out and she says, "Well, how does this look?" I said, "Man, I'm a poor judge." She says, "What do you mean?" I said, "I think you look good in anything." Why can't you say something like that? I hope you. She rings your bell. If she doesn't, you're just a ding-dong. But you know what? Dwell with them according to knowledge. Honor your wife. Make her feel like she's the most important person in the world to you. And by the way, she ought to be. Then notice in verse 7, and we'll close there. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of" what? "The grace of life." Now, the Bible says we're heirs together. Now, some of us live in spiritual poverty when we could be living with spiritual riches. Now, we are to only marry in the Lord, right? Christians are to marry Christians. Believers are to marry believers. We are not to be yoked up with people that are unbelievers. You say, "Well, how can I prevent that from ever happening?" Well, don't date them to begin with. Makes sense to me. But when we're both saved, we can share things from the Word of God. We can pray together. We could, you know, I don't know how often Connie comes to me. It's at least on a weekly basis, wouldn't you say? She says, "John," she doesn't call me pastor. I like that. Pastor, no, shut up. Now, I'm her husband first and foremost. But she'll ask me, she says, "You know, what does the Bible say about this? Or what does the Bible mean when it says this?" And I said, "Well, okay, this is what I believe it's talking about." "Oh, okay, that makes sense." But she asks me questions, and I give her answers. And you know, guys, you ought to know more Bible than your wife does. You ought to stay on top of that. And when they ask you a question, make sure you're giving a biblically correct answer. Stop giving them unbiblical your own doctrine. They don't need your doctrine. They need what the Bible says. And they need it rightly divided. But the riches of the Christian life ought to be shared within your marriage. Both husband and wife should follow the Lord and love Him. Then results are certain to follow. You say, "What's the results?" How about answered prayer? You know, Connie and I often pray together. Now, not during our devotions, but we do pray together. People call and say, "Hey, this is going on." We stop whatever we're doing and we pray for that person. You say, "Why do you stop right then and there?" Because we'll forget in about 10 minutes. But we pray. And you know what? Then if we have something we have need of, we pray together. And here's the lovely thing. We actually get an answer. I don't understand some of these couples. You pray and pray and pray, and you still don't get an answer. Uh-oh. Ding, 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 ding. I know why you're not getting an answer. You don't have the proper relationship. That's why the Lord ain't hearing you when you cry unto Him. All right, we'll have some more. And let's be doers of the word. Amen. Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Got something for you.
Is it $500?